Okay, today's daf is Zvachim daf Tzadi Gimel. We left off in daf Tzadi Beis Amud Beis. We started yesterday the perek of Dam Chatos, which discusses the mitzvah of kibbutz begadim. That daf kabe the Dam Chatos that you have to go and be mechabis the begadim if the blood sprinkles onto the begadim. I woke up this morning early to prepare the daf like always, and I saw on my phone there was a text from a friend of mine who gives daf Yomi Shirim every day, and he said I've never had a Amud of Gemara that I've less understood than Tzadi Gimel Amud Aleph and Zvachim. So why am I telling you that? Because when I sat down to prepare it, I was scared, and therefore I concentrated a lot more. It wasn't so hard. So it's just maybe that will motivate everybody to. If we concentrate, it's really not that bad. It's not that difficult. So anyway, we went through some of the rules of Dam Chatos that sprinkles on the Beged and the mitzvah of Kibbutz Begadim yesterday. So we're up to Bayi Rabbi Yavin, about 7-8 lines before the lines get wide, in Sadi Beis Amud Beis, where Rabbi Yavin asks the following Shaila. One of the rules that we mentioned, just some background to this Shaila, one of the rules that we mentioned was that if the blood sprinkles straight from the neck of the animal onto the begadim, so that is not going to require kibbutz because it is not yet roi lazah. It needs to be niskabel b'kli sharis first, and then require kibbutz. If, for instance, if the blood sprinkles on the baguette after the hazaus were all done. Also, it's no longer roi lazah, it's already nas mitzvah, so, and therefore it's not going to require kibbutz. It's only in that window of time, while the blood is roi lazah, that then, if it sprinkles onto the baguette, you need to do kibbutz. So we said, if it's not yet niskabel and klishari, it goes straight from the neck to the baguette, it doesn't require kibbutz. But what about those karbanos that don't require kabbalas dam b'klisharis? Like when you're dealing with an oaf and you're supposed to take the neck of the bird and squeeze it directly onto the mizbeach, where you're not supposed to be mekabelin b'klisharis. So then what's the halacha if it goes straight from the neck of the bird onto the begadim? So that's the shayla of Rabbi Yavin. By Rabbi Yavin, nishvach ala ritzba, if it falls on, meaning what he's asking is, if it falls, so if it was in a klisharis and falls on the ritzvah, so that we're going to have in the next Mishnah, where it's not going to require kibbutz, because when it falls on the ritzvah, it passels it, right? That when if you were mekabelin in the klisharis, so good, now it was kosher, then it fell on the ritzvah, and it became passel. But what about when it goes straight from the neck of the bird, where obviously it went straight from the neck of the bird onto the beged, so that's regular dam that requires hazah, so therefore it should require kibbutz. But what if it went from the neck of the bird onto the floor? Does the floor passel it even when it never required klisharis? Or does the floor only passel it if it was once in a klisharis and now it fell on the floor? So nishpach al ritzpah v'asvam mahu. What if it fell on the floor from the neck of a bird where it never needed to be in a kli? And what's the din then? Do we say the Torah simply does not require a klisharis over here, and therefore the blood falling on the floor does not disqualify it from anything, and therefore it's going to be kasher for azah, and if it's kasher for azah, if it goes on a Kohen's beged, it's going to require kibbutz. Oh, Dilmar, maybe no. Maybe Mifsel Pasel Be'Rachman HaKlisharis, Vilka Chosvo Pasel. Maybe it's not that it doesn't require Klisharis, and therefore the floor won't do anything to it. Maybe it's that Mifsel Pasel Be'Rachman HaKlisharis, that a Klisharis is going to make a Pasel, and therefore when it goes on the floor, it's also going to Pasel it. Meaning the din is it's got to go from the neck to the Mizbeach, and if it goes anywhere else, if it passes by anywhere else first, if it goes on the floor first, that also is going to Pasel it. So that's the shaila. Amar Rava. So Rava says, Tashma, let's bring a raya. Yachli hey dam chatos of talm kibbutz. You might have thought dam chatos of requires kibbutz. Talmud Omar zos. That's why the pasuk says zos. So says the Gemara. V'isal kedai tachmif so pasul be'rachmana. If you're going to say that it's that the Torah passels when you have klisharis. Typically, da ifsala ba'avir kli. So then, anyway, it should become possible that the dam chatzov should not require kibbutz anyway, because it becomes possible ba'avir kli. You don't need the word zos, because as soon as it gets to the what's the avir kli? There's no kli. The avir of the beged. As soon as it gets to the airspace above the beged, right? It's no longer roi lazah, and the avir kli is kli dami, and that alone would tell us that it's possible. If in fact the Torah passeled kli shares. So it must be the fact that we need a pasuk that the Torah doesn't pasul klisharis. So Amar Rav Huna Breidu Rav Yishu. Yeshua bin Madbikli b'tzavara. No, who says the blood was ever over the avir of the Bigdei Kuna? Maybe the blood was connected directly to the animal's neck, was directly on the Bigdei Kuna, and that's how it squirted out. That, as Rashi explains, Delohaya al aviro ad shenagabo. Maybe it never was in the avir, so it never became pasul before it touched the beged, because it never was in the airspace above the beged. Okay, period. So we can't be poshet from there. Next shaila. Ba'amine Levi, nitaz mi beged le beged mahu. What's the din if the blood sprinkles from one beged to another beged? Again, now we're back to Dan Behema. Regular Dan Behema went into a klishares, put it on one and it sprinkled on one beged, they couldn't, then splashed off, it ricocheted off onto another beged. So what's the din? Mi beged kama idchile lekibus. Do we say from the first beged that it touched, it's already no longer roi for azah, and therefore no longer something that's going to be subject to kibus, or do we say no, that as long as we're in the world of begadim, so it's considered the same spilling of the blood? If you look at Rashi, idchile lekibus v'gari le minishpach min kli al haritzba. This is worse than falling on the floor. Va'asfu v'achar kach nitas al beged, and then it's sprinkling on the beged. The hasam kiven the kashul izrika royal azar karina bay. When it spills on the floor, by the case of the oaf, it was still kashul izrika, so therefore you could say it's royal azar, and therefore would require kibus. But when it went on the first beged, so now it already had a mitzvah's kibus. So that blood already became disqualified from azah. Therefore, it's not royal azah by the time it gets to the second beged, and therefore it should not require kibus. So that's the shayla. So Amalei, he said, Zu shayla. Wow, that's a great shayla. Okay, you want me to answer it too? Okay, so tell him kibus mimanavshach. The answer is that it requires kibus mimanavshach. Why does it require kibus mimanavshach? The following. E osfa v'kasher ha-kasher. If you hold that squeezing it out of the beged, and it's still that if you're able to squeeze blood that went on a beged and still use it, that if you were to squeeze it out of the beged and still be able to use it, well then hakasha, well then it's still usable, and therefore it should require kibbutz. V'osvo pasul, and even if you say that if you were to squeeze blood out of the beged, it would be pasul, and not Rabbi Akiva really, damar ha'isulo shasakol shervenifsula damatam kibbutz. I hold that the dam is always going to need kibbutz, even if by the time it got to the beged it was already pasul, as long as it once had a shasakosher. So this blood certainly had a shasakosher. So he says, mimanavshach, the din is that it's going to require kibbutz. Therefore, it is a little bit strange that the Rambam paskins in Ma'aser Kabbanos Perachas Halachates, Ein habeged hasheni ta'un kibbutz. Rambam paskins does not require kibbutz. Gemara raised the shayla. Gemara said, great shayla. Here's the answer. Mimanavshach does require kibbutz. Rambam paskins does not require kibbutz. Kesef Mishnah is miyashiv the Rambam in two stages. Stage one, he says, is that the Gemara's answer of mimanavshach, that it's got to require kibbutz, relied on Rabbi Akiva. Right, the second half of the Mimanavshach was, even if you hold Oso Pasul, but if you hold like Rabbi Akiva, which I personally hold, like the Gemara says, you hold like Rabbi Akiva, then it's still going to require kibbutz because it once had a Shasa Kosher. Rambam doesn't hold like Rabbi Akiva. So there's no Mimanavshach, at least, according to the Rambam. That's stage one of the Kesef Mishnah. There's no Mimanavshach because the Rambam paskins against Rabbi Akiva. The Rambam holds having a Shasa Kosher is not enough to have required kibbutz. It needs to be kosher by the time it gets to the Beged. So it's not a Mimanavshach, but it's at least a Safek. It's at least a shayla, osvo kasher or osvo pasul, whichever way you hold. So shouldn't you say that he should be machmir and be matzruch kibus, as a chumra? You might as well play it safe. There's a safek on a din d'oraisa, on a mitzvah d'oraisa of kibus begadim. So Kesef Mishnah says this is another example of every chumra has its kula that goes along with it. Because when you're going to be matzruch kibus begadim in the Azara, you're essentially telling somebody, go do your laundry in the Azara. So if it's a mitzvah, okay, so it's a mitzvah. But if it's not a mitzvah, then you're having someone be mezalzel in the Azara. He's doing his laundry in the Azara. He's cleaning off the begadim in the Azara. It's a terrible zilzel to the Azara. So perhaps the greater chumrah is not to do the kibbutz rather than to do the kibbutz. Right? You don't want to be mezalzel in the Azara. in such a way. Now, Rashi had such a lashon, idchilei lekibus, right? We read that Rashi in idchilei lekibus. So Rashi had said, aval al habeged iskuke iskuk lekibus, idchi mitaras hazaa. Rashi said that the dechia is because the beged itself requires kibus, and therefore even it's even lower, it's even garua from nishbach ala aretz, because by nishbach ala aretz you can at least gather it together and still be zorik it. But over here you have to be mechabes the dam that went on the beged, and therefore it turns out that it's not royal azah. So it says Minchas Chinuch, you see that the nekuda is, according to Rashi, that one, it's not that once it went on the first beged, memela falling on the second beged is too far removed or anything. No, it's that once it goes on the first beged, it's no longer ro'ui to be mechabes. Michas Chinuch says the suffix is only when it fell on the kind of beged, therefore, that's totin kibus. Because once it fell on the first beged, it's no longer ro'i lazah because it needs kibus. So it's only if it goes on a beged that requires kibus. But let's say it fell first on something that doesn't require kibus, on or kasha, says the Michas Chinuch, on hard leather or cleats or something like that. So then bevada, if it goes from that onto another beged, then there's no shayla. Then bevadai would still require a kibus. It's only because it was nidche from hazaa by virtue of the mitzvah of kibus on the first beged. That was the whole shayla. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. Says the Gemara Vayter. Top side Gimel Amud Aleph. Ba'aminei Rami Bar Chama Mei Rav Chista. Rami Bar Chama asked the following shayla of Rav Chista. Nitis al beged tamei mahu. What if it splashes on a beged that's tamei? Rashi explains v'nitma v'nigyaso bo. So the dam becomes tamei by touching the beged. Miavi dam pasul kilu nitma kodem l'chein. Now if the blood was already tamei by the time it splashed onto the beged, so that blood was already not roi for azah, and therefore you wouldn't have a mitzvah kibus. What if the blood becomes tamei by hitting the beged? The beged is metame the blood. Do we say that it does not require kibus because the blood has been disqualified by the tumah of the beged? Or do we say, as Rashi explains, that since at the moment that it fell on it, it was still kasher, the dam was kasher until it hit the beged, until the very moment it hit the beged, therefore it should require kibus. This is an example where the psul of the dam and the requirement of kibus are by and kechad, comes at the same time. The dam becomes tamei by hitting the beged. So what's the din? Says Gemara, Amar Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua, Midakami Bayilei Hachi, from the fact that you ask such a shayla, Shema Mina Haisala Shasakosha V'nifsala Ein Damata on Kibus. It sounds to me that you don't hold like Rabbi Akiva, that you hold that even if it once had a shasa kosher and then later became pasul, that it would not require kibus. The fact that it had a shasa kosher once does not keep it in the parsha of kibus. That we look at what it is now, and if now by the time it hits the beged it's pasul dam, it would not require kibus. So sahani mili bezeh achar zeh, that which we say that it does not require kibus, that's only one after the other. If one happens first, meaning that the blood became nifsal and then sprinkled. Aval babas achas lo, but maybe if it happens at the same time, that should not be the din odilmaloshna. Or maybe even babas achas, if it becomes tame as if it's the beged, maybe that alone is good enough. So that's the shayla. But all the Gemara did, all Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua said, is that the shayla that Rami Bar Chama is asking from Rav Chista is assuming delo krabi akiva. It's assuming that having had once in its history a shasa kosher is irrelevant. But again, the shayla is, if the blood hits a beged that's tamei, is there a requirement of kibus, or do we say that since the blood becomes tamei from the beged right away, maybe there's no requirement of kibus? In the Sefer Kavod Kashyasa, one of the Sefer we've quoted many, many times in the past, Sefer Kavod Kashyasa, again, is the written by the author of the Chalkas Yoav. He published in the back of Chalkas Yoav 103 questions, Kava Kuf Veiz Aleph, 103 questions that the only thing they have in common is that he doesn't have answers for any one of them. So in the Sefer Kavod Kashyasa, question number 65 in the Sefer Kavod Kashyasa is on this Gemara. A lot of his questions are on like Kachem Sugyas and things that, you know, we're not necessarily so, that's why it's somewhat of a difficult Sefer to just pick up and read through. But in question number 65, he asks the following. We mentioned yesterday that the Gemara is going to have a suffix, Ravan Daf Tzadiches, is going to have a suffix. This din of kibus, is it when it becomes balua, in the beged that it requires kibbutz, or when it touches the beged that it requires kibbutz. L'may nafkamina, so the Gemara is going to say, the nafkamina is, let's say the beged is already saturated with other liquids, so and then dam touches the beged. So the dam can't be balua in the beged, the beged's already saturated. So should we say that it requires kibbutz, or should we say it does not require kibbutz? Rava's maskana is, that on the Gemara's maskana, is that only if it's balua, it requires kibbutz. The mitzvah of kibbutz happens when it's balua in the beged, not when it touches the beged. The mechayiv of kibbutz is being absorbed in the beged. You want to tell me that the dam hits a beged that's tameh, that the tuma and the mitzvah of kibbutz are bayin ka'achas. No, they're not. The tuma happens the second it touches the beged, just an external hit. It only becomes chayiv in kibbutz when it becomes balua in the beged, when it becomes absorbed in the beged. So how can you say that it's bayin ka'achas? It's not at all bayin ka'achas. That's the question of the Kavod HaKashiyasa. So Baruch Hashem, if you publish a sefer, if you're a big Talmud Chacham and publish a sefer with questions that have no answers, so Klal Yisrael being what Klal Yisrael is, there are many, many people that will then publish Sfarim with all the answers. So there's a Kavod HaNichusa, Kavod HaTerutza, a kavod to Yisuva, any word you could think of that means answer, there's a kavod to that was published. So there are several answers given to the kavod to Kashiyasa's question. One answer is that the Achronim explain in Shitas HaRambam, the Rambam says that if it's Nitas al Bega Tameh, that it does not require kibbutz. The Rambam paskins in our case that it does not require kibbutz. So the Achronim explain that the Rambam holds that the whole suffix of Rami Bar Chama is only according to the Tzad that the chiv of kibbutz is Mishum Negiyah. That it's only according to the Tzad that Rava doesn't paskin like at the end. That he holds this whole Shaila is Deloki Hilchasa. Well, that's one easy way to do it. Saying that this whole Shaila assumes, not like Rava's Maskana, that it's a din in the Bliya, that Kibbutz is a din in the Bliya, but that Kibbutz is a din in the touching of the Begadim to each other. That's one simple way of being Miyashev. Others say that no, that it's a din in Boin Kachas does not necessarily mean it happens at the same second. Boin Kachas means it happens with the same Pu'ula. With the same action is called bayin kachas. So even though one, you know, the blood will become tameh by touching the beged a millisecond before it becomes absorbed in the beged, so that's still called bayin kachas because it was one pu'ula of the blood going to the beged. How could you make up such a chiddush? Where do you get this from? So there's a gemara in Yevam Islam Gimel Amud Aleph that we find that a kohen could become a tameh and a balmum bebas achas. How so? He takes a knife that's tameh and he cuts off his finger with the knife that's tameh. So that's what the Gemara says. So he becomes a tameh and a balmum bebas achas. Fractosvos, it's not bebas achas. Tosvos says, kadma hatuma lebalmum, because as soon as the blade of the knife touches the outside of his finger, he has become tameh from it, and yet he only becomes a balmum once the blade cuts through, once he's chopped off his finger. So the Tosvos Shanim over there say that no, since it's all one pu'ula, it's all one action, that's called bebasachas. Bebasachas doesn't need to be literally at the same millisecond, just needs to be one basic pu'ula, one basic action. Chaznish answers the kasha of the Kavod HaKashiyasa that all negiyas dam on a clean beged that stains the beged is considered blia, meaning any time the suffix of the Gemara later on is we're dealing with a case where the dam is going to not affect the beged because the beged's already saturated. It's not that it's the blia is mechayev the kibbutz, says the Chazon Ish. The negiyah is mechayev the kibbutz, but what kind of negiyah is mechayev the kibbutz? A negiyah that's going to stain the beged. But a negiyah that will not stain the beged is not mechayev the kibbutz. That's how the Chazon Ish reformulates what the Gemara is going to say in Daf Tzadik Ches. Okay, anyway, back in our Gemara, so we have this kasha, we have this shaila in our Gemara. If it goes on a beged tameh, the blood sprinkles on a beged tameh, I'm going to try to keep it inside now because we have a lot to do. If it sprinkles on a beged tameh, so what's the din? Does it require kibbutz? Does it not require kibbutz? Do we assume that the blood has been nifsal by touching the beged tameh and therefore does not require kibbutz? Or since it only became nifsal once it already touched the beged, therefore it will require kibbutz? He says you should know the answer to that depends on the machlokas Rav Elazar and the Rabbanan according to the way Rabba understood it, the way Abaye was miyashiv. What? So it says the Gemara as follows. Detanya, Reb Lazar Omer, Mechatos Shenitmu. Reb Lazar holds that if Mechatos, the Para Aduma water ashes mixture becomes tamei mitaharin. Even the mechatos that becomes tamei, it still has the ability to be mitaher. You know how I know that it still has the ability to be mitahar a person from tumas meis, as if it was never, as if the mechatos itself was not tamei. Shaharei, this is the tricky part. Shaharei nida mazan aleha. Let's say you have a woman who's a nida who's also tamei meis. Can she have the Efer Paraduma, the Mechata, sprinkled on her to get her out of her Tumas Meis while she's still a Nida? Or is that like Tovel V'Sheretz Biyado, that here she's trying to get rid of the Tuma of Meis, but she's still Tamei as a Nida? The Mechata isn't going to be Matara her Mitumas Nida, so does it work? So the halacha is that yes, it does work. Even though she's still a Nida, you could be Mazeh Aleha. Now, the fundamental question. So again. So what's Rabbi Elazar saying? And therefore, mechatos. That's if you could sprinkle the mechatos on a woman who is tamei, and therefore the mechatos is going to become tamei from touching the woman, and it's still going to work to get rid of her tumas meis. So then you can sprinkle mechatos that is tamei, and it's going to work to get rid of tumas meis. What difference does it make? So the question that all the Amoraim are going to try to deal with is, how could you have a Hava Amina to compare those two cases? When you're dealing with Mechatas that's Tameh, the Mechatas was Tameh before it ever touched the woman. The Mechatas was Tameh in advance. That is much worse than Mechatas that was Tahar and only became Tameh as a result of touching the woman. The Mechatas that was tahar before, it was perfectly kosher mechatas. It only became tamei when it touched the woman, but it's already mitahar the one from tumas meis when it touches her. How can you compare those two cases? In order to answer that question of how you can compare those two cases, the Amoraim offer three approaches. We're going to have Rabba, we're going to have Abaye, we're going to have Rava. This is the tough part of the daf. So it says the Gemara, Va'amar Rabba. So Rabba explains, Rabbi Elazar, B'shitas, Rabbi Akiva, Rabba, Amra. Rabbi Elazar is going like Rabbi Akiva, his Rabbi, Da'amar, Havaras, Kli, Al Gabi, Makom, Tamei, Kimunach, Dami. That if you take a Kli that has Mechatos in it, and you pass it over a Makom, Tamei, you pass it over something that's Tamei, that's considered as if it's resting on that which is Tamei, meaning it's considered as if it becomes Tamei, just by going in the airspace. If you have Mashal and Hilchos Shabbos, Kluta Kamishun Chadamia, right? A similar type of idea. That you have, or in Hilchos Tuma, it's like a Tumas Ohel kind of idea. That passing over the Tuma is enough to make it Tamei when you're dealing with Mechatas. When you're dealing with Mechatas. Ditnan, how do we know? This is Mishnah. Hayomid Chutz L'Tanur V'Sheretz B'Tanur. Let's say you're standing on one side of the Tanur, inside the oven, and ovens those days, the opening was at the top of the oven, right? So there's a Sheretz inside the Tanur, V'Hoshit Yadol L'Chalon. There's a window on the other side of the oven. So you're on one side, windows on the other side, Sheretz is inside the oven. V'Natal Salagin V'Viral P'Tanur. And there's a pitcher of Mechatas on the windowsill. So you go and you grab the pitcher of Mechatas, and you pass it over the Tanur when you bring it back to yourself. So Rabbi Akiva Matami, Rabbi Akiva says it's going to be Tamei. Why? Because Rabbi Akiva holds there's such a din of like Tumas Ohel when it comes to Mechatas with any kinds of Tuma. V'chamim Matarim, V'chamim say it's Tahar, Uba Hapligi. The Rabbi Akiva Savar Kumunach Dami, Rabbanan Savri Lav Kumunach Dami. Rabbi Akiva holds it's considered like it's Munach, the Rabbanan holds it's not considered like it's Munach. That is how Rabba explains Rabbi Eliezer Shita, that Rabbi Elazar assumes like Rabbi Akiva that it's Tamei when it hits the Avir. So how does that help? How does that help explain his comparison to between Mechatas that's previously Tamei being sprinkled on somebody and Mechatas that's being sprinkled on a Nida? Because when the Mechatas is in the airspace over the Nida, it's already Tamei. It doesn't have to. It doesn't only become tamei once it touches the nida and it's mitar her. Even when it's in the airspace over the nida, it's already tamei. When it's been sprinkled toward her, so as it's in midair, it's tamei. Then it hits her. So it's the same exact case as mechatas that was previously tamei before it hit her. So ve'esvei Abaye. So Abaye asks on that. Moder Rabbi Akiva b'haza she'evir al klicheres tamei. Now Rabbi Akiva actually agrees that if you sprinkle it once it's being sprinkled, if it's not the mechatas is not in the kli, but it's in midair, it's being sprinkled and passes over Tuma, that Rabbi Akiva is going to be Moda that when you're mavir on the chavis that's tame, that it's not going to become tame from the airspace. I'll give mishkav moshev tame, and also if it goes over a mishkav moshev that's tame shi torah. In those cases, he's going to be moded that it's tar, that there is no like tumas ohel mechatos magical tumas ohel when it's no longer in a kli. Shein lechadavr shematami l'malik l'mata el kazayis min ames for sharkal aminah so you have him in the gas, because we only have tumas ohel by those cases where we have tumas ohel by a mace. By Evan Amnugas, we don't have Tumas Ohel over here. This is a special din that Rabbi Akiva has for whatever reason, which we'll see soon, that Rabbi Akiva has that when you take Mechatas in a Kli and pass it over Tuma, that's when it's going to become Tame. But Mechatas that's being thrown over Tuma doesn't become Tame, and therefore, back in our case, where you sprinkle the Mechatas on the Nida, so when it's in the airspace over the Nida, it's in midair. It does not become Tameh. It only becomes Tameh when it touches the Nida. So we're Vaiter stuck with what in the world Rav Lazar is talking about by comparing the case of previously Tameh Mechatas to the case of sprinkling Mechatas on Nida. So Elam Rabbi Dukuli Amalav Kumunach Dami. Abayi says, now everyone holds that when it's in the airspace over Tuma, it's not like it becomes Tameh. V'achabakam Iflagi. Over here, this is what Rabbi Akiva and the Rabban are arguing about. The Rabbi Akiva suffered Gazrin on Shema Yanuach. The reason Rabbi Akiva holds that in a kli, when it's passed over Tuma, the Mechatas becomes Tame, it's Rabbanon, a gzeira, lest you put down the kli. Where's that Shaykh? When it's in a kli, when it's flying in midair, because the Mechatas has been sprinkled, there's no gzeira, you might like push down the water, that Shema Yanuach. It's only when it's in a kli. Rabbanon, Tzavi lo gazrin, Rabbanon don't make such a gzeira. Mod Rabbi Akiva ba'zah, Kiva de nafak. Rabbi Akiva's mod, that when you sprinkle it, that as soon as it's out, you don't have to worry about Shema Yanuach. So therefore, according to Abaye, what's the svara for Rabbi Lazar? Rabbi Lazar Rabbanon b'maikum iflagi. So good, Abaye explained Rabbi Akiva's din of this Tumas Ohel, this magical Tumas Ohel by Mechatas. But now he's stuck with, why does Rabbi Lazar compare a case of Mechatas that's previously Tameh to a case of Mechatas that's being sprinkled on Anida and only becomes Tameh because it touches her? So Rabbaye, b'dan in Tumah Keduma mituma Shaba Oso Shaka Miflagi. The question is, can you compare previous tuma to tuma that's just happening at that moment? Mar Savar Danin, Rav Lazar holds, yeah, that's, you're allowed to do that. Umar Savar Ein Danin, the Rabbanon hold, no, you can't make any such comparison. Basically, this whole kasha in Rav Lazar Shita, how can you compare? Rav Lazar holds is not a kasha. He holds that you can't compare. That tuma keduma and tuma that comes at that moment doesn't make a difference. It's all the same. It's tuma, and therefore mechatas that becomes tuma even in this act is going to be is going to work, because meaning since we know Mechatas becomes Tameh in this act is going to work, therefore Mechatas that became Tameh previously is going to work. Rava Amar, third Chita, as to how to understand Rav Lazar, Rav Amar Dekuli Alma Ein Danin. No, everyone sees that the fundamental flaw in comparing Mechatas that was previously Tameh to a case of sprinkling it on a Nida where it only becomes Tameh by touching her. V'ach b'ach b'fli. You want to know the Machlokas Rav Lazar and the Rabbanon is as follows. Rav Lazar Savar Hazah Tzricha Shir. Rav Lazar holds that you need a certain shir of Hazah. What was our whole svara to say that the Nida should be different? That by the time the Mechatas touched the Nida, it's already mitar her from Tumas Meis. So by the time the Mechatas became Tameh, it was already mitar her from Tumas Meis. Not true. You need to sprinkle a few times till you get the shear of Mechatas that's going to be mitar her from Tumas Meis. So the first sprinkling didn't have enough to be mitar her from Tumas Meis. But you know what did happen? Whatever hit her became Tameh. So it's Mechatas Tameh that you're trying to use to combine with the other sprinklings that you're going to be doing on her to make her Tahar. And yet we see that still works. So if that works, then Mechatas that was Tameh before you sprinkled it should also work. That's Rabbi Lazar Shita. We start from Hazos. We combine the different Hazos to fill the shear. It's not just one sprinkling. It's several sprinklings, Zeh, Hazeh, until you fill that shear. But with the first couple of sprinklings, you didn't have that shear yet, and yet the Mechatas already became Tameh because it hit the knee. The Rabbanon hold Hazah does not require a shear. That's the difficult part of today's Gemara. The three Shitos, how to understand Rabbi Lazar. Now, just as a general question, the Shita of Rabbi Lazar is Mechatas that became Tameh works, that it's Metaher. The Gemara, the Mishnayos, in several places discuss the great extent that they went to make sure that the Mechatas never ever became Tameh. why were they so nervous about it? Even if it becomes tameh, according to the Blazer, even if it becomes tameh, it's totally fine. Tosos asks this kasha. Vim tomerim came. Lama gazru shlo yavir adam mechatos veivr chatos bin nahar ubesfina. They can't pass it over a river or a boat. Kemais shayik this becomes perikish shalom because we're afraid that it's going to become tameh. Vishlomer. Tahasim kodem kiddush v'achala achar kiddush. Mechatos that becomes tamei works. That's only if the tuma happened after you already mekadish a bekli. If the tuma happened before the kiddush, then the mechat before your mekadish bekli, then the mechatos that becomes tamei would not work. That is the that is the difference. That's why they were so careful with it before when they were first gathering that mechatos. Okay, says Gemara Vayter, chatos psula. So the Mishnah said, first Mishnah in the parak said that if a chatos is pasul, the dam of a chatos that's pasul that hits a beged doesn't require kibbutz bugadim. Says the Gemara Tan Rabbanan, midama midam ksheira v'lo midam psula. We darshan from the word midama that only dam of a chatos that's kosher, not dam of a chatos that's pasul requires kibbutz. Rabbi Kiva Omer haisul hashas kosher v'nifsula dama tov kibbutz. So we've seen the opinion of Rabbi Kiva that if it had a shasa kosher and then it became pasul, so the blood requires kibbutz. But if it never had a shasa kosher and then it became pasul, then it's not going to require kibbutz. Meaning, Rabbi Kiva holds pasul means if it was always pasul. But if it had a shasa kosher, it's not going to require. It will still be subject to kibbutz. Rabbi Shimon Omer echadze vechadze ein damatan kibbutz. Rabbi Shimon says, no, I don't care if it ever was kosher. What is it right now? If right now it's pasul, so then the blood does not require kibbutz. My time is Rabbi Shimon. So where does Rabbi Shimon get that din from? Ksiv osa, ksiv midama. Says two miyutim. So one of them is to tell me that it's a miyut, that it does not require kibbutz, even if it had a shasa kosher. So one is to tell me that any dam that was always pasul doesn't require kibbutz. The other is to tell me any dam that's ever pasul, even if it wasn't always pasul, will not require kibbutz. The end of the sentence is v'chadlo haisalo shasa kosher. Right, one is for haisalo shasa kosher, one is for not haisalo shasa kosher. That's what they add in the side of the Sora Shas. Rabbi Kiva will say no. Midama tells me that dam that never had a shasa kosher does not require kibbutz. What does he do with osa? Osa prat l'truma. Osa comes to tell me that the din of Marika Ushtifa, which if you recall, in the pasuk about kibbutz, we also learned the din of Marika Ushtifa. Osa comes to tell me that the din of Marika Ushtifa doesn't apply to truma. Rabbi Shimon l'tamei, dam rekachim kalim, ain't to Marika Ushtifa, v'kol shkein truma. And this is Rabbi Shimon l'shita, so he holds kachim kalim, don't require Marika Ushtifa. Certainly truma does not require Marika Ushtifa either. Period. New Mishnah. Nitas minat savar ala beged einotan kibbutz. If let's say the blood goes straight from the animal's neck onto the beged, so then it's not going to require kibbutz. Again, we're talking about from the tzavar of a behema, where it should have been mekubal in a kli shares, not from the tzavar of an oaf. If it went straight from the tzavar of an oaf to the beged, then it would require kibbutz. We're talking about it goes straight from the neck of the behema onto the beged, then it does not require kibbutz. Mina keren mina yisod ain't on kibbutz. Also, on the flip side, if it already had its sprinkling and therefore goes from the keren or the yisod of the mizbeach where it's already been put, it doesn't require kibbutz because it's already done. Nishbach al ritzpa va'asvo ain't on kibbutz. If it spills on the floor and you gather it together, also does not require kibbutz because it became possible by spilling on the floor. Ain't on kibbutz ella dam sheniskabel bekliv roi laza. The basic rule is dam only requires kibbutz if it was niskabel in the kli sharis and it's roi to use for sprinkling. If that is not true of the dam, then it does not require kibbutz. Tan Rabban, we have a brisa. Yochel nitas minatzavar al beged yeton kibbutz. I might have thought that if it goes straight from the neck of the animal onto a beged, it should require kibbutz. Tamalomer asher yazeh lo amarti lecha ela beroi lahaza'a. Pasuk says asher yazeh teaches me that it has to be something blood that's roi to be sprinkled, only then is it going to require kibbutz. Tanya idach, we have another brisa. Yochol nitas mina keren mina yisod yeton kibbutz. I might think again on the flip side that even after the mitzvah is done and the blood's already been put on the mizbeach, that if it goes from the mizbeach onto the beged, I might think it requires kibbutz. Tamalomer asher yazeh. Prat lezeh shekvar huza. Asher yazeh tells me, excluding that which has already been sprinkled does not require kibbutz. Frak the Briska Rav. I need a pasuk for that. Anything that's nasus mitzvasa doesn't have the same kedusha anymore. Meaning it's not a carbon anymore. It's not dam chatas anymore because nasus mitzvasa it's chulin. So why do I why would I have a havamina that requires kibbutz? Brisk Rav says based on his father, based on Vart Rav Chaim has that sometimes there's certain dinim in dam that relate to it being dam that's a carbon chatas and not relating to then do not relate to the kedusha of the dam. That enochinami after snatzas mitzvaso it no longer has the kedusha of a carbon, but it still has a shame dam. The din of kibbutz, he says, is totally in a shame dam chatas, not in the kedushas dam chatas. That's what I would have thought, at least. I would have thought that after the nasas mitzvaso already, it still has shame dam chatas, and that should be enough to say that that it still requires kibbutz. Kamash Mulan, I need a pasuk, tell me otherwise. Nishbach ala ritzba, the Mishnah said that if it's spilled on the floor, so then it doesn't require kibbutz if it then goes on to a baguette. Hasu lamali. So once you tell me that, do you really need to tell me after that that it only requires kibbutz if it's in a skabel bakli? We already learned nishbat. We learned every other possible case already. Meaning we learned what happens before it's in a skabel bakli that it doesn't require kibbutz. We learned what happens after it's ready nasas mitzvaso. We learned what happens when it spills on the floor. Why is that last line of the Mishnah? It's interesting. The kasha is not going on nishbat al ritz, but it's going on really the last line of the Mishnah of ein ton kibbutz al dam shem skabel bakli v'roi lazah. Why do I need that line? So it says. That line is just explanatory. It's giving the reason for all of the previous halachos. Why is it that when it spills on the floor and you gather it together that it does not require kibbutz? It hasn't been nasa mitzvaso and it's already past the stage of niskabel b'kli shareis, so shouldn't it be in its fullest kedusha, therefore require kibbutz? No, so it gives the reason. That it only requires kibbutz if it's a skabel b'kli and is roi for azah. That's why it doesn't require kibbutz in that case. So it's just giving the reason. It's not a fourth statement of the Mishnah. It's the explanation of the third statement of the Mishnah. Mm-hmm. Fine. Roi lazah. So we said, what does it need to be? The blood needs to be roi lazah in order to require kibbutz. Lemute mai, as opposed to what? As opposed to what kind of dam? So the meute kibbe pachus mikdei azaya beklizeh upachus mikdei azaya beklizeh. As opposed to if you mekabel less than the amount that you need for azaa in two different kelim, but combined it would have been the right amount for azaa. So in that case, that's not called roi lazah, because in any given kli you do not have blood that's roi lazah. Such blood that goes from one of those kelim onto a beged will not require kibbutz. Ditanya. Because we have a brisa that says as follows: Rabbi Chalafta Bar Shaul Omer, Kidesh Pachos Mikdei Hazoya Beklizeh, Upachos Mikdei Hazoya Beklizeh, Lo Kidesh. The brisa is talking about the mechatas that if you're mekadesh the mechatas less than the amount that you need in one kli and less than the amount you need in another kli, so the kedusha is not chal. So that was that's by mechatas. So Ibayilu Bedam Mahu. That's great by mechatas. What about the dam of chatos apnimios that you mekabel? And then you write in each kli. Hilchasahi, do we say that the din by mechatas is alachal Moshe Misinai ume hilchasah lo gamrinan, and you can't derive anything from alachal Moshe Misinai, which is an interesting chiddush. Rashi Pesach Shabbos writes that the Torah Shebal Peh was not nitan lidrosh b'sholosh esrei midos. The Torah sholosh esrei midos, the yud gimel midrash Torah nidrashes ben, is the decoder for Torah Shebichsav. It's the way to take Torah Shebichsav and derive Torah Shebal Peh from Torah Shebichsav. But you cannot take the Yud Gimel Midrash HaTorah Nidrashes Ben and apply them to Torah Shebal Peh. You can't decode Torah Shebal Peh with it was meant as a decoder for Torah Shebichsav, not as a decoder for Torah Shebal Peh. That's how many understand the Shaila of the Gemara in Gittin, whether Torah Shebichsav is Merubah or Torah Shebal Peh is Merubah. The Gemara has a question, which one has more? Is there more in Torah Shebichsav or more in Torah Shebal Peh? And everyone asks, of course there's more in Torah Shebal Peh. So they say, no, maybe what they're asking is things that are really Be'etzim that start off as Torah Shebal Peh. That's what the Shaila is. Meaning, what they're really arguing, and Siv writes in his first Akhtamah to the Shiltas, that what they're really arguing about is what counts as Torah Shebal Peh. What about things that are learned from the Yigim Lisha Torah Joshua Ben? Since that's decoded from Torah Shebuchsav, is that called Torah Shebal Peh? In which case, obviously, Torah Shebal Peh is greater, or does it not count as Torah Shebal Peh? The only Halach L'Moshe Misina would count as Torah Shebal Peh. But anyway, so our Shaila is, so we know that if you're Mekadesh in two separate Kelim less than a Kedei Azah by Mechatas, that it's not going to become Kadosh. What about by Dam? Do we say that you can't learn anything from Halach L'Moshe Misina? Or maybe it's not Halach L'Moshe Misina over there. It's because the Pasuk says, V'tavol B'mayim, Hachanam, Iksiv, V'tavol B'dam. So over here also it says, V'tavol B'dam, so it should have the same din. So Tashma, Dam, Rabbi Zekar, Amul Vazar, Af B'dam, Lo Kidesh. That even by Dam, it's not Kidesh if it's in two Kalim, each with less than the proper shear. Then notice by Rashi, when he says, B'dam Mai, Rashi says, Gabichat Zepnim, Is Kibul Pachs, Mekdei Azaya, V'chazar V'irev. Rashi understands that the shaila is that you were makabel less than the shear in two separate kelim, and then you went and mixed them together and put them in one kli. That you later then put them in the same kli. That even then the Gemara raised the shaila. Right? If you left it separately, then it wouldn't be a shaila. In the Shitas Rambam, the Karanor explains the Shitas Rambam that if you're chazar v'irev as adam, that you're makabel in two separate kelim, then for sure it's kasher la'azah. Then the Rambam would hold that's not the shaila of the Gemara at all. And if it's, so we're talking dam, it's for sure therefore talking kibus. And it's not like dam that falls on the ritzpah where there's chalal of shem psul at the moment that it spilled on the floor. Over here, it just didn't yet have the right amount when you first were makabalit, but then you filled up the right amount. Whenever you makabal anything, at first it's not going to have the right amount. It takes a while till the kli fills up. That's not the same as nishbach al ritzpa, says the Keren Ora B'das HaRambam. That's not the same as nishbach al ritzpa, where it's a psul. It's a psul. When you makabal pachs mikshir, it's not a psul. You just didn't have the right amount yet. So, but anyway, that's against Rashi. Rashi holds that it's a psul. Makabal pachs mikshir, and even if you combine it later. Okay. Amar Rava. Tanya, we have rice of a tovel of lama safik. The Kohen has to dip his finger in. He can't like rub his finger against the edge of the kli where and to get the liquid that's up against the walls of the kli. Bidam achi bidam shir tevila meikaro, and the blood has to have the amount of the proper shear from the beginning. Min adam shebe inyan. It has to be the dam that you sprinkled from the first time. You have to sprinkle all of it. That you have to go and get that dam again. The Gemara will explain what that means. V'isrik lemichtam bidam, and we need the word. Bidam, dikas rachman v'tavel, avamin afal pidalek a shir tevila meikaro. Had it only said v'tavel, I would have thought even if there wasn't a shir tevila there to begin with. Kas rachman v'dam, vikas rachman v'dam, and if it only would have said v'dam, avamin afil masafek, I could think you could even squeeze your finger against the edge of the kli to get the dam, kas rachman v'tavel, you have to dip it. Min adam shebe'inyin l'mutei mai, what does min adam shebe'inyin come to teach me? So amarava l'mutei shirayim shabatzba, comes to teach me that whatever dam is left on your finger from the last sprinkling, that can't be used for the new sprinkling. You got to wipe off your finger before you do the new sprinkling. And Rav Lazar holds that way as well. If you're sprinkling and the hazag sprinkles off your hand, if it's before the hazag happened, in the beged is going to require washing. But if the blood that went off of your hand hit the beged and it's already been sprinkled, though the dam has already been sprinkled, it does not require kibbutz. Now, what's that saying? My laf hachikamer, isn't it saying the following? Actually, gomer mila hazos ta'an kibbutz, misha gomer la hazos ain't ta'an kibbutz. That before you finish the za'a and the blood sprinkles from your finger onto the baguette, it's going to require kibbutz. But after you finish the za'a, it doesn't require kibbutz. Sounds like the blood on your finger is still viable, that it's still called roi la za'a, and that you don't need to wash off your finger all the time. So, lo hachikamer, actually, yatsa azam yado ta'an kibbutz means before you ever did the first sprinkling with your finger, but it's ready for hazah, then the blood hits the baguette from your finger, that's when it will require kibbutz. Mishiyatza hazah miyado ain't on kibbutz, but once it went off of your hand, so then it's not going to require kibbutz. Meaning, if you took your finger, sprinkled dam, and then a little bit of the dam that was remaining on your finger went on a baguette, that does not require kibbutz, because that dam is not roi lazah. Dam left on the finger is not roi lazah. Esfei abaye, gomer milahazos, if you finish doing the hazah, mikanech So once you finish all that zos, you should clean off your hand on the para. They're going to burn the para anyway. So use the para as your napkin. So it sounds a little gross, but that's what you do. Gamar in, lo gamar lo. So that's only if you finished. You did all that zos. Sounds like before you finished, after you did the first azah, or the second azah, you don't wash off your hand on the para. No, that's not the diuk to make. The diuk to make is, when you finish all the azahs, clean off your whole hand really well. When you finish off, after each azah, just clean off your finger. Just make sure your finger is clean, so that when you do the next azah, there won't be any leftover blood on your finger from the previous azah. But blood that trips onto your palm or whatever else, that you'll get later, because that's, you know, that you'll get after you finish all of them. I understand, when you finish, you clean off on the gufa shel para, because you're going to burn the para anyway. What do you clean off your finger with? You clean it off with the edge of the kli. That's how you rub it against the edge of the kli, and that's how you clean off your finger. But the finger does need to be cleaned off, because any remaining blood on the finger cannot be used for hazah, and that is it. So we'll pick up with the Mishnah tomorrow. Right.